the Four Horsemen of Trib Live Radio.
Anytime you see the Four Horsemen together, it's something special.
Ken Laird, Guy Junker, Tim Benz, Josh Taylor.
Jump on the Horsemen one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
The apocalypse for sports talk radio is here.
Well, because Josh Taylor's become a shill for the SEC after living for 5 minutes in Arkansas, I imagine he's going to say Pitt Notre Dame has no cachet, and he'll like to weigh in and rip me from my conversation earlier that nobody cares about the SEC games here in the Northeast.
Wait. The man who has been saying for weeks that Pitt's going to win 9 games is calling me a shill for the SEC. Am I hearing that correctly?
I'm just calling it as I see it, which is an accurate run for 9 wins. That's not being a shill. That's visionary. I believe I also predicted the Bengals were going to be good.
Visionary. Wait. For the record, I wasn't even involved in your little SEC argument about an hour ago. That wasn't even me. So how do I get called the show for the SEC because I covered it for 3 football seasons?
It's a preemptive call.
My gosh, I didn't mean.
I have a theory on that boils down both you and Tim's entire argument, but I'm not going to go there. I'll leave it alone. Because I don't have time to break it down.
Well, who does it prove right, me or Ken?
It proves Tim right.
Well, let's go then. Go there.
It's obviously convoluted enough. It would take a half hour for Taylor to get it out.
No,
so.
Because you're going to try to argue every individual point of it, and I'll have to take more time to prove you wrong. That's why I want to get into that entire discussion.
Okay, answer me this then. Pitt beats Notre Dame. Steelers beat the Raiders. What's a bigger deal? What are we talking about Monday?
Steelers beating the Raiders is a bigger deal. If the Steelers don't beat the Raiders, they're 4-5, and people were talking about this season being over before Thanksgiving.
We've got this debate 3-3 now, Guy. We split this down the middle. What about the emailers and so forth, Ken? Have we gotten response on that? Or is
not much. I think, Rossi was on my side, so that gives me double pause for my own take. But Rob believes beating Notre Dame is still big news, and we're not seeing the forest for the trees
here. It is a big deal. Now, that let's not take away that Pitt being Notre Dame is not a big deal. But this is still Pittsburgh, and the Steelers still play here. And if they lose to the Raiders, that becomes a much bigger deal. Now, if both teams win, then maybe Pitt winning is a bigger deal. But if Pitt wins and the Steelers lose, Pitt winning doesn't matter anymore. People throw that out the window. The Steelers losing becomes a bigger situation.
We got one email from Pat. He's down in Georgia. He says, I grew up in Crafton, guys, but I'm down here to Atlanta in the hub of SEC country. And although I love the SEC rivalries, my beef is these teams just don't play outside the region enough. My buddies here always blame the conference schedule being too hard is why they don't venture up north in November
and
December.
And you know what? He's right, because I got into that argument when I first moved down there. Because the conference schedule, yes, it's tough, but the problem is only a couple teams in that conference play one legit non-conference game. And one of those teams is LSU, and one of those teams is Alabama. Everybody else outside those two teams play cupcakes in the non-conference.
Well, hold
Alabama
up.
And LSU, the only
ones Alabama
out.
Played Middle Tennessee and Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, but it's not
they also
everyone.
They also play one legit Power 5 every year.
They always play
every
somewhere
year,
along the way.
They play one legit Power
Penn
5.
Penn State, the home-and-home with Penn State. Right? Was it home-and-home, guy, with Penn State?
Yes, it was a home-and-home. Yeah.
Home-and-home. They played Virginia Tech.
Their schedule's ranked in the top 10 of the country this year.
Yeah, they got like the number 4 or number 3
strength.
They had
two automatic wins.
How do you jump straight to Middle Tennessee and ULM when they played Wisconsin first?
Because
how do
they played two
but they
cupcakes.
They played Wisconsin first.
Okay.
Wisconsin
that
was the first
make up for
game.
Playing getting two automatic wins?
You mean like Youngstown State and Akron
for
your pizza pie?
Exactly.
For the record, Alabama
We're
plays
talking
a,
about Alabama, not Pitt.
Alabama plays a Power 5 team in their first game every season. How many other teams in the country can make that claim?
If strength of schedule is important, I don't see how Alabama's strength of schedule based on those two cupcakes
playing
has got
Wisconsin
them into the top
in their
four.
First
because
game
everybody
count?
Else do, does it, Ken. That's why.
Not everybody. Everybody doesn't play two. Not two.
Pitt does.
We're not comparing them to Pitt.
Penn State
Pitt's on a different
we,
level.
But we are.
Five teams.
We are.
San Diego State.
What are you talking about? You absolutely are. Because you're saying you don't know how you can be number 3 in the country with two cupcakes.
Because
everybody
else
does it.
So it just waters Notre Dame, all the schedules down.
If I'm Notre Dame, I'm upset about it. Why are they ranked higher than me? I played a tougher schedule than you did.
Are they number 1 schedule in the country right now?
I'll look at Notre Dame's schedule. Texas, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Navy, USC, Temple, UMass is the one team that's a one, you know, one double A.
But what's
UMass and Navy. Alabama's Boom. Schedule is ninth in the country. Notre Dame's is
16th. But at the same time, Notre Dame does not have a conference.
What's that based off of? Record of opponents? Into account that two of those schools are not even, you know, it could be high school quality for all we know?
Okay. Sagarin strength of schedule ratings.
Here's I'm about to use something you said against you. You talked about how bad Temple was. Temple was on Notre Dame's schedule, were they not?
Yeah.
Does that now count against Notre Dame since you thought
Temple
was
terrible?
I said
earlier in the week, I gave Temple props for hanging in there against the Irish.
Oh, now you give them props after
they because I saw the game.
Yeah.
They were good before
that
game.
Yeah, but for 8 weeks you said they stunk.
Yeah, because I saw them play UMass and they almost lost the game.
Yeah.
Because I actually watched these games, unlike some of you.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. I told you they were good from watching them last year and returning their entire defense in July. It took you 2 months to realize what I knew before the season started.
Let's not pretend they're great either. They're very one-dimensional on offense. They have a running back, and that's about it. It's like 60% of their offense. They got a good defense.
It's an AAC team. They're not even a Power 5 team.
I give them props.
So Notre Dame has two scheduled games against non-Power 5 teams, do they not? We're back
They don't have two patsies on their schedule like
Alabama.
But
we're back to square one. Alabama played Wisconsin in their first game, and they have two games against non-Power 5 teams. Notre Dame has two games scheduled against non-Power 5 teams.
There's no excuse for Alabama to play those two teams.
There's no excuse for Notre Dame to play UMass.
Notre Dame doesn't do it.
They've got UMass. You just said it yourself.
One. That's one.
Navy.
Navy's a good team in the Big East.
Really?
Navy's a good team in the Big
East.
Really? Really? They're 1A. They're a 1A team.
We're going to use the Big East as an really? Middle Tennessee's a 1A team.
Temple's in the Big East. You're just praising Temple.
No, Temple's not in the Big East.
Middle Tennessee's a 1A team.
They're in the AAC. They're in the same conference that Memphis is in and the same conference that Navy's in, et cetera, et cetera.
Middle Tennessee's a Conference USA team. So if you're going to talk about a Big East team, Middle Tennessee's Conference USA, and I'd rather play Conference USA team than a Big East team. Are we going there? We're really going there. Okay. I could do this all day. All day.
You can talk louder than everybody else.
Navy's a good team in the Big
East.
Day. Get the hell all the way out of here.
Navy was predicted to win the conference before the year began.
And you bagged on Middle Tennessee and they're a Conference USA team. What's the difference? What's the difference between Conference USA and Big
East? I'd be happy if they win the Coral Sea. I don't care about the conference.
Navy's
6-1, by the way.
We're trying to compare the virtues of Navy and Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, and who's their loss to?
With a straight face.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, to Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's good.
We're trying to compare the virtues of Navy and Middle Tennessee with a straight face. This is insane.
Everybody, you don't think Navy's any good?
Everybody,
I didn't
has
say Navy
two
wasn't
layups.
Any good, but they're a big. You made a case for them being a Big East team as to why they're legit on somebody's schedule as opposed to a Conference USA team without realizing it's pretty much one and the same when you look at the two conferences.
Middle Tennessee's 3-5.
They're a Conference USA team. Navy's a Big East team. You just said it yourself.
It's
the two conferences.
Charlotte and Florida Atlantic.
They're American Athletic is what they are.
They're an American team.
Right.
Another non-Power 5 conference game. The way I see it, you're either a Power 5 team or you're not. That's it. And every team that's in this college football playoff, or at least in the rankings, has at least two games against non-Power 5 teams. That is undeniable. Undeniable. As far as I'm concerned, that ends the argument, one way or another.
Otherwise, we're just
comparing non-Power 5 conferences. I'd rather compare socks in my sock drawer that are 2 years old. That would be a better waste of my time.
You don't think Pitt beating Notre Dame will be a big deal?
I didn't say that. I did say it's a big deal. I don't think it's a bigger deal than the Steelers and Raiders. That's the comparison. That's the difference. Pitt beating Notre Dame is a big deal because it knocks Notre Dame out, and maybe it makes Pitt look a little bit more legit. No one's denying that.
It's just not as big of a deal as the impact that will be felt for the AFC playoff tree between the Raiders and Steelers. That's going to be a significant game come the end of the season.
Okay, well, I'm not doubting it's a blow if they lose to the Raiders, but who would be your fear of the next wild card team? If the Steelers lose to the Raiders, we assume Oakland is then the 5 seed.
Well, I've said it 100 times. It's one of the other 3 AFC East teams.
Probably
the Jets
with that defense.
It's the Jets.
Their quarterback issues now maybe lessen them a little bit. I think Kansas City's a lot better than what they've shown. They're 3-5. If they get on a little roll and they already have a win over you head-to-head, I'd worry about – I think Miami stinks. They got a little bit of a jolt with an interim coach.
I'm not ready to hitch my wagon to a team with an interim coach. I can't do that with Miami. It's too volatile a situation. It's the Jets for me.
The fact that Fitzpatrick's playing, I guess, would lend to your argument. I don't know how well he's going to play with his left hand all bumped.
The fact that Fitzpatrick's playing is a really big indictment against Geno Smith, is it not?
Yeah, well, Geno Smith hurt his shoulder, though, too. He's not healthy either.
Fitzpatrick said he's confident he can play through it. They'll play the Jags, so I guess that helps. Play Jacksonville. Should come through that fine. Well, let's get to the games. We've got to pick these before Guy is out of here. And I want to give Josh his props. He and G.A. Jerry DiPaolo are tied for the lead at 27-15. And guys, one back in the standings, 26-16. How about our listeners, by the way? Tied with Junker for second place here, or third place, at 26-16. So you guys have been very good. And Tim, you're 3-2
last week.
12
people to be the same as me.
I'm in last place now by myself?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, but you were 3-2 last week. You're coming off a good week.
How did Caboli pass me?
Oh, yeah. He went 4-1.
Oh, wow.
Let's fire the band up.
Now, networks don't talk about it. Government can't tax it. But sports betting is a $200 billion a year business.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Pick and Pork.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
All three local teams play at noon on Saturday. That's usually a bad sign, but actually these are all somewhat interesting games.
Hey, before we start, do I get credit for the bonus pick? We all said it was going to be a bonus pick last night for the Bengals and the Browns.
I had
the Bengals covering, so give me a point.
We'll give you an attaboy. Good job.
Judges?
Give me a point.
Let's start with West Virginia. This game is at noon on Fox Sports 1 at Mountaineer Field. The Ears are 0-4 in the conference, and they play Texas Tech here. I've bet on West Virginia and got burnt the last couple weeks, so I'm kind of shell-shocked, but Texas Tech's not very good, it doesn't look like to me. Their pass defense is awful. But Josh, you got to pick these first, since you're our fearless leader. So what do you know about the Big 12?
Well, I can tell you this. West Virginia being 0-4 in the conference, the closest of those four losses was at home to Oklahoma State, and that game was in overtime. They're a significantly better team than they are on the road. Their three wins and their closest loss were all at home. Three of their four best rushing games were at home. Texas Tech, one of the worst rush defenses in the country. They've allowed 5.5 yards per carry per game on the road. And West Virginia at home, +8 turnover margin, -5 on the road. 7.5-point spread does kind of bother me, but Texas Tech on the road, the only decent team. I think they faced three Power 5 teams on the road, but the only one they beat was Arkansas, which I don't think to really be a really great football team to measure off of. I'm taking West Virginia with the 7.5.
Yeah, giving the 7.5.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Guy, you pointed out this might be a job saver for Holgorsen, and this game might mean more than we think.
And he's facing his old team in Texas Tech that he used to coordinate.
He worked there for 8 years. Yeah. I don't know. If I covered West Virginia, I'd like to know what the feeling is down there. You know, they started 3-0, and I mean, Georgia Southern, you want to talk about cupcakes. I don't care what they did in their first year. That's their second year at this level of playing. But best defense in the Big 12, dark horse in the Big 12, and then they get shredded for an entire month. But both of these teams, Texas Tech has lost to the same group, TCU, Baylor, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. The combined record of the teams that have beaten Texas Tech is 30-1.
And the same four teams have beaten West Virginia.
The same four teams have beaten West Virginia, so they're really kind of mirrors of each other.
And that's a lot of points to give up in a mirror.
It is. But my point about West Virginia is, have they cashed it in? Because at the end of September, it looked like, hey, this could be a team to watch out for. And now what do they have to play for, really? To become bowl eligible? Which they may. To save their coach a job? Maybe they don't like Holgorsen. I wish I had a better feel for what their mental state is right now.
Well, to answer your question, Bill West during the college football locker room show, he said the attitude pretty much being given off in Morgantown is kind of the rich uncle penny bags holding the pockets out of the pants. Like, look, we're playing against Oklahoma State, TCU, and Baylor. that's kind of the whole deal. Like we're facing four really good teams, so they're thinking of it more as having four really good opponents as opposed to that team being that bad.
Well, Tech has the third best offense in the country behind only Baylor and TCU in yards per game. West Virginia's banged up. Carl Joseph, KJ Dillon, Terrell Chestnut might be back. Their secondary is an absolute mess. I think I'm going to take the 7.5 in Texas Tech.
I think you might have convinced me, Guy. It just seems like these are coin flip games, the pick in the Big 12. It's going to be 60 to 60, you know, it's going to be some high-scoring combination.
Well, you know what, Ken? The thing is, you take 7.5 in the Big 12, that's like
that's two for a regular game.
I mean,
That's why I don't mind picking West Virginia at 7.5.
I'll give you one more thing, Ken, just to help you make your decision, because this almost made me take West Virginia. Pat Mahomes is the quarterback at Texas Tech. At home, he's thrown 19 touchdowns and 3 picks. On the road, he's thrown 6 touchdowns and 9 picks. Ugh. He has struggled on the road.
See, that's what I'm saying. West Virginia, really good home team. Texas Tech, really good, really bad road team.
All right, give me Tech. Give me Tech. Travis is taking Tech as well. He says Tech has given up 70 points to Oklahoma State. The West Virginia took to overtime, but he sees them bouncing back, so he's going to take
They only lost to TCU by a field goal, and they beat Arkansas, which is better than anything West Virginia has on their resume.
That's true.
I think West Virginia giving 7.5 is too much in any state right now. So I'll go with Texas Tech getting the number.
Very succinctly said.
I'm switching my pick now.
Good call. Good call.
I'm kidding.
I've been so bad against the spread this year.
Oh, I was in last place 2 years ago.
Am I flying solo here?
Crapshoot.
Am I flying solo to West Virginia?
Yeah, you're lone wolf here for the Mountaineers.
Well, it is lonely at the top, as I remind you, Ken.
You
guy.
Mountaineer shill.
Yes, you are.
Hey, still first place, baby. It's all that matters.
Ever been to Evanston, Illinois, guy? And Ryan
Field.
I have not.
No, I'd like to go, though.
I never got to Ryan Field when I was in the Big Ten either, covering the Buckeyes.
I wish I would have had the money to go to Northwestern. I would have loved to have gone there.
Second best journalism school in the country.
Wildcats are 6-2. Penn State comes in 7-2 in the big clash. Noon kickoff on ESPNU, I believe, at noon. The spread here we're going by is Northwestern, who's ranked 21st in the country, -2.5. Penn State getting 2.5 on the road.
I'm going to go with Northwestern. That's a pretty narrow line. And, under field goal at home, I'll go with Northwestern against Penn State.
As will I. Penn State's been outscored 65-20 on their two road games. Northwestern beat Stanford 16-6 at home. They beat Minnesota 27-0 at home, who's a pretty good team, despite the fact that their coach just retired abruptly. They beat Duke 19-10 in Durham. I like Northwestern in this game.
All year, I thought this was a Penn State loss. The last couple of weeks, Penn State's offense is coming around, and Northwestern's arrow is pointing down. Michigan beat them 38-0. Iowa beat them 40-10, and they barely squeaked back past a lousy Nebraska team last week. But I'm still going to take Northwestern because that's not enough points to give Penn State. They're 0-3 against the spread on the road, and they got a very mobile quarterback that runs about 60% of the time. Penn State is excellent against in-the-pocket regular quarterbacks, leading the country in sacks. But against mobile guys that like to run, they struggle a little bit, and I think that's going to be the difference. So I will take Northwestern and give less than a field goal.
Another stat about Northwestern's defense, they allowed 200-plus yards passing only once all season, and that was last week against Nebraska.
Why does Northwestern has this real low time of possession? They score quick? Is that what it is? They average like 22 minutes a game. One of the worst in the country.
Wow. I don't know that they score that quick because they run a lot, run with their quarterback a lot. I'm not completely – here's the thing. They beat Stanford and they beat Duke. That's two pretty good wins. That's better than any wins Penn State has.
Yeah. And they shut out Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm with you guys, and our listener Travis is also going Northwestern, although he's a Penn State grad, and he says, I feel like this game I know the most about, but I'll make the wrong pick anyway. Even though they're good against Northwestern all time, they give him a problem in Evanston.
Well, Fitzgerald is 2-0 against Franklin head-to-head, beat him badly at Beaver Stadium last year, and beat him when Vanderbilt went to Northwestern in 2012. Hmm. Although here's one hidden stat for you that probably really doesn't mean anything. Coming off a bye week, which Northwestern is too. Fitzgerald is 1-7 in his career at Northwestern.
Wow.
And the only win was against Western Illinois. So for whatever reason, his teams coming off a bye have stunk.
Hmm.
Why do you always do this? You keep coming up with these every pick and point.
Yeah, he
week,
does.
You compare these stats.
He fights himself.
Yeah, you fight yourself, which leads me to fight myself and want to fight you.
It's just information.
He red herring.
Don't forget. Information's the hard part.
Don't forget. He fights himself and then he loses and blames it on me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No. And then you talked him out of it.
Yeah, I'm not letting you talk me out of anything anymore.
Here's something else about Northwestern, because you brought up the two big out of conference wins they had against legit teams in Stanford and Duke. They also played Ball State and Eastern Illinois, which is weird because only SEC teams schedule opponents out of conference.
Right.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Let's not compare Northwestern to Alabama, please.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great point there, Tim.
Back to Travis. He says he has no faith in John Donovan when his back is against the wall, and that's as a Penn State graduate. So still questioning the offensive coordinator. Hmm. We're all taking Northwestern. It's a clean sweep. Let's go to Pitt Notre Dame. At Heinz Field, noon kickoff, number 5 in the country. How about a 7.5-point line here for the Panthers? Too little? Too much?
Too much. And here's why. And this came from Phil Steele, of all people. Last 10 meetings between Pitt and Notre Dame, only one time has the winner won by more than 8 points. That was in 2005. All the rest of these games have been decided by 4.8 points per game. That's the average.
What was the Charlie Weiss-Wannstedt debut final score? Was that the one?
That might have been that one. It was 2005.
Okay, yeah. So I will take Pitt plus 7.5.
Me too.
I'm taking Pitt too.
Me 3.
That's actually you 4, and Travis will make it 5. He's
I don't even think Notre. Here's Notre Dame.
Tim, I won't. Here's a couple that'll make you feel good.
Christ.
You won't fight me. Notre Dame is 0-5 in their last 5 November games against the spread. They're 1-5 in their last 6 games against Pitt against the spread.
There
and the last
go.
6
yep.
games have been decided by a touchdown or less. I couldn't find anything. And Notre Dame has the 98th red zone offense in the country, the worst in the top 25.
And the kicker's going to have to
one
kick
thing
at Heinz Field.
Yeah.
A
I don't have one
Heinz
thing
Field.
There to make me conflicted. That was the easiest pick of the week for me.
Pitt.
Was Pitt.
Go Panthers, Ken. Veggie pizzas for everybody.
Yeah. Although
covering is different from winning.
Yeah, that's true.
Pitt is 0-3 at home against the spread this year.
God damn it!
Too much information.
Notre Dame's offense is legit, though. They're going to put up points. I just think Pitt's going to move it on them, too.
You know, individual Matt, Notre Dame's got a very good secondary. I want to see Tyler Boyd against a very good secondary.
Yeah,
are they very good? I don't know if you think they're
– I think they're
Gosh, I hope his mouth is okay.
It's probably – it might be the best secondary Boyd's faced all year, isn't it?
I would consider it.
I was impressed with Carolina's secondary, actually.
Carolina's was pretty good in hindsight, looking at it after the fact, because I was at the Penguins game that night, but – I think Notre Dame wins, but Pitt does cover.
Travis Downtown says, I smell bacon on a Giovanni's pizza and Ken's prediction coming to an end.
So he's going Notre Dame?
But he's saying Pitt covers.
We're
all taking Pitt. All right, so to the Sunday games. Packers play the Carolina Panthers. I think I said Cardinals, but it's Packers and Panthers this week. Also a 1 o'clock game at Bank of America Stadium. It's a little bit interesting. Two of the better games of the weekend are 1 o'clock, including Steelers-Raiders.
Mm.
Do you believe in Carolina? You know, is the main question here. And last we saw of Aaron Rodgers, he was struggling against Denver. So this is an interesting one
Denver's
to me.
Denver's got a good defense,
Denver
though.
Might have the best defense in the league.
It was on the road.
And it was at Mile High.
So is this one, though, too.
Well, this one's in. This was at, Bank of America Stadium is the name of it?
Yep.
I don't know if Carolina has faced a challenge like this at home.
Home underdogs.
Yeah, and they're home dogs. I can't see the Packers losing back-to-back games with that offense. I just don't see it. I think Carolina finally meets their first real test at home. I think the Packers won this one. And the 2.5
They played New Orleans and Indy at home, Philly at home. I mean, they're not bad teams.
That Indy game shouldn't have been as close as it was. They kind of they got lax in the fourth quarter and Indy came back.
Yeah.
I like the Packers. 2.5 points for the Packers as a road underdog. That's almost it's the deciding factor for me, because other than that, this game will be a coin flip. But I do like that 2.5.
3 or 3.5 would decide me. I'm going with Carolina. I don't see. Here's Carolina's had 11 sacks in the last 3 weeks.
Hmm.
Green Bay's passing game is 27th. They're 28th in the league in total offense. Everybody thinks Green Bay does all this stuff. Aaron Rodgers is this great, and he is. But right now, they are not producing the way they have in the past. Panthers have won 11 regular season games in a row. They haven't lost a home. They haven't lost a regular season game, period, since the end of last November. And the combined record of the teams Green Bay's beaten is 17-29. I feel like I'm way out on an island here, but I'm taking Carolina.
To your point about Green Bay's offense, not having Jordy Mercer, I think, makes a difference. Plus, they get Devontae Adams.
Jordy Mercer.
I mean, Jordy Mercer, Jordy Nelson. I get those mixed up all the time. I have Pirates on the brain.
But, they got Floramon at receiver.
In which case Mike McCarthy might get blasted for that.
Floramon would have to be a DB, Ken. He's all defense.
But no, they lost. They haven't had Nelson all year. They get Devontae Adams back, so they have closer to their complement of receivers back.
I don't think the Packers are that good. I mean, I guess I'm jaded by Denver is good. I know that, but their receivers get no separation. Carolina's got a real good corner, and Josh Norman, I think, is going to shut.
He might have the best quiet season that no one's talking about.
He's really good, and I see Olsen running free over. I don't think the Green Bay's defense is very good. I'm with you, guy. I'm taking Carolina.
Oh, all right, I'm not alone.
I was ready to go with Green Bay, and then I just got freaking burned by Carolina too often. I'm done picking against Carolina and losing. I'm going to go with the Panthers as well.
Now, are you believing in Cam Newton yet? Because there are some people that are still on the fence.
No, I've always been a Cam Newton fan.
So have I. I've been a Cam Newton guy, but there are people that aren't, and it still baffles me.
Listener Travis says he's going to go with the Packers, give the points. Randall Cobb has a disappointing season, but Jonathan Stewart, well, he's praising Carolina here. But anyway, he says four NFL teams are not going to go unbeaten. I think Green Bay beats them and covers. He's just feeling a little evening out this weekend. So Josh and our listener are taking Green Bay.
He and I are on the same wavelength as far as, you know, the unbeaten teams.
Steelers-Raiders, 1 o'clock. Steelers minus 5.5.
Carolina's getting the 2.5, right?
No, Packers are.
No,
Packers. Oh, the Packers are getting, okay.
That's the only reason why I'm taking the Packers, because they're getting the 2.5.
No, yeah, Carolina's getting 2.5, yeah. Oh. Packers are the favorite on the road. It's a home underdog.
Oh, my bad.
Right,
okay,
I just wanted to make sure I'm taking
the Packers, yeah.
I feel confident the Steelers are going to win this game. I don't feel confident about 5.5.
That's a big spread, I think.
I feel the exact same way. I think they win this game, but they don't cover.
No, I'm going to go Steelers anyway. I felt very confident about this game all week. They know they can't overlook Oakland this time. 1 o'clock start, West Coast team that's burned the Steelers in the past when everybody thought it was in their back pocket for that gambling reason. But I think it gets cashed in this week. David Carr is good. The wide receivers are good. Everything about Oakland, I think, is good. But I still think the Steelers know the desperation level here. And 1 week, Russ knocked off for Roethlisberger. They put in the old run game blocking schemes that worked for D'Angelo the first 2 weeks. And I think the Steelers win by a touchdown. Or maybe I like them 26-20. That number stuck in my head. The spread is 5.5. I had 26-20 before I knew what the spread was. So I'm going to go with my gut on this one. And I say the Steelers win and cover.
Damn it, that's a good argument. It's a really, really good
However, guy.
It's a damn good argument.
You know, I could see that scenario, Tim, where they come out and play real disciplined, and, you know, Ben's much better in week two, and they're inspired by last week taking too many penalties, and they come out and grind it a little bit more. But 5.5 is a lot for me. So if I'm on the fence, and that has swayed me, I think there's a chance the Raiders win outright.
There's a good chance.
I'm taking the points. Give me Oakland.
I am too, Ken. I think Jack Del Rio really doesn't believe in himself. They had the worst offense in the NFL last year, the worst. Their total offense this year is 9th. Charles Woodson's playing like he's 29, not 39. Mari Cooper could be the first 1,000-yard Oakland receiver since Randy Moss 10 years ago.
Wow.
Carr has 15 touchdowns, 3 picks. You put all of that in there. They're number 2 against the run. The Steelers are without Le'Veon Bell. And Ben Roethlisberger's 1-4, and Tomlin 1-3 all time against them, plus the 5.5. It's just overwhelming evidence to me to take the Raiders with the points.
If it was 3.5, I might take the Steelers. And Tim puts out a really, really good case to take the Steelers, but I'm going to go against it and stick with the Raiders. I'm sticking with it.
Lone wolf, Tim.
That's all right.
Although you almost had me on the other side.
The Steelers shill.
The pick and pork listener is going with the Raiders as well.
He is going with. Travis
Downtown.
Travis Downtown. He is taking the Steelers and giving the points. He's with you.
All right.
He said the numbers seem to point to Oakland, but I think they bounce back this week, and I think Ben has a big game in the air. The defense will give Carr some problems. Take the Steelers, give the points. Steelers 4-2-2 against the spread this year, as he cites. but only 1-1 as a favorite. Two old safeties in this game. Will Allen, not the highest profile name among them, Tim, but you talked to him anyway this week. I don't know if you compared him to Charles Woodson.
No, I didn't really bring up Charles Woodson. No, just was mainly about his health returning the ankle. And
Charles Woodson leads the league in interceptions, and you can't get on the field. What's the difference right now?
That would have been a good open. I give Will Allen a lot of credit for still being in the league. I mean, what he's done.
I like talking to him, too. I think he's an interesting interview.
Guy, have a good weekend. And
I think, you know what, this is a great weekend for games. I mean, holy cow, every one of them is very – this could be Franklin's first win against a ranked team. This could be the coming out party for Pitt to really prove that they're beyond what expectations. Holgerson's job could be on the line. It could prove that West Virginia is better than what the brutal month of October proved. And the Steelers' very playoff possibilities could be on the line. And you get two Penguin games. Aren't too many weekends that they play twice. So I can't wait on Monday morning to talk about it all.
Probably not watched those Penguin games late night. Probably going to be
it's perfect for me. I got a high school game, so I'll come home. And, of course, it starts at 9. It'll be pretty much over by the time I get home. So I hope it repeats at midnight and I'll have a couple of beers and sleep in tomorrow.
Hey, which goalie is playing which night? Do we know yet? Zakhoff tonight or tomorrow?
That's a good question.
They should probably put Fleury in the net tonight, I would think, against Calgary, right?
You'd figure he had a day
no,
in between.
I'm sorry, I take that back. No, it should be the other way around.
Edmonton.
Yeah, Edmonton tonight should be Zakhoff. Calgary can, I think, without McDavid, Calgary is more of an offensive threat.
True. Hmm.
Listening to Tim's chat with Will Allen on the other side of this, we'll hear of Mike Graw joining us, a Notre Dame grad that he is, to crow about the Irish. But let's hear Tim's interview with Will Allen, Steelers safety, coming back off injury and hoping he could be Charles Woodson this week.
That's playoff ball the last 2 months of the year. And whenever you can, you know, you can raise your level of play, you know, raise the intensity and finish out games at the end of the year helps your playoff chances. So, you know, I'm excited about these last 8 games. I'm excited about the way our team is going to respond to these last 2 losses. So, the last few years going 6-2 is definitely a confidence booster.
Do you guys feel you have no or little margin for
it? Don't have very many. I tell you that. You know, I tell you that. Hopefully, you know, we can win all these games. That's what you got to take one at a time. So.
Does that particularly come into play against the Raiders? I mean, in recent years, the Raiders have bitten the Steelers a couple times over when you guys were pretty heavily favored. But now it's a pretty even game, it looks like. Does that hone your focus all the more?
You know, you hate to lose any game. I hate to lose, period. I don't care who it's to. I don't care if it's to New England. I don't care if it's to the Raiders. I don't care. But, you know, this is a good matchup. It always is. Like, it's a classic AFC matchup. And it's, you know, it's just one of those games where it's going to be tough and gritty, and, you know, hopefully we can get the win.
What's your assessment been of the defense in the time that you've missed?
It's been good. You know, the guys are playing well, man. You know, they're executing, you know, playing at a high level, and, you know, everybody's, you know, playing free, and our coaches are preparing. So, you know, everybody's playing good, man, especially in the secondary.
How about yourself? How are you feeling? Do you feel like this is a week for you to come back and be 100%?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, that's my goal. That's my plan. So I'm just going to take it day by day, you know, try to finish the week, you know, feeling good and feeling right. And, you know, hopefully I can suit up on Sunday.
What's been the hardest part about tracking your own recovery?
I don't know. You know, the ankle is a very fickle deal, you know, having an ankle injury. And you gotta time it just right, you know, especially playing defensive back. You know, everything we do is power movements backwards to forwards. So, and a lot of cutting and awkward angles. So, whenever you have that, you want to make sure that everything is fluid and you have power. So, I'm just, you know, trying to concentrate on that. You know, John Norwig and Sonia Giesland has been doing a great job of helping me and getting me back. And I feel good.
Last thing, the tandem of receivers that they've got, the pair in Cooper and Crabtree. Can you liken that to any other receivers that you've seen in terms of style and approach? I mean, I know it's young and old, veteran, and brand new guy that's splashing into the league.
You know, you got Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. You know, those two guys have worked well together. you know, it's hard to liken them to too many, because it's hard to match up two good receivers. They're very, very good receivers like that, and most teams don't have really two good ones. You know, you could say, you know, the guys in Detroit, Tate and Megatron, you know, they're very good. So
I keep hearing how good of a route runner Cooper is already. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think he runs well. To be a rookie and how he's setting up his routes and how he gets the corner to think all the time when on his releases, you know, that's hard to do as a rookie, because you know, to understand the speed and the technicality of the game. You know, everybody's talking about how he's ahead of his time, and I believe it just watching him on tape.
Will Allen with Tim Benz. It's a couple interesting things there, Tim. Comparisons for Cooper and Crabtree are real tough because Cooper's a second-year receiver who's playing well and playing good. I mean, if the Steelers can get him and Carr, both young guys, to make mistakes, that's probably their best chance to win, right? If you can confuse them, if you can cause them to not be as sharp on a route as Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown are from working together
those
years.
Yeah. They're going to need some turnovers. They got to get a few and cash them in this time as opposed to what happened last week against Cincinnati.
Guys from his class, Cooper was last year, right? He's this year? He's this year.
Yeah,
what am I saying?
He's a rookie.
So he's a flat rookie. So who else in the 2015 receiver class is playing in year number one that's been as impressive?
Nobody, especially because, you know, the other first-round pick from West Virginia, help me out.
Kevin White.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt in minicamp.
Right, exactly.
So just nothing.
Devontae Parker is in Miami. I guess he's played a little bit, maybe more than some people thought. But yeah, so it's real tough to compare. Philip Dorsett in Indianapolis, but he hasn't played that much.
Yeah, and the returns have been up and down. He's had injury problems too, so.
Well, that's the thing to me about these two games in Heinz Field this weekend. We're bringing Mike Raw on right now, our weekend host here on Trib Live Radio, and a Notre Dame grad. Derek Carr's a young quarterback, and Notre Dame's coming in, Mike, your guys, but they got a freshman at QB in Deshaun Kizer. How's he played this year, and what are the chances he makes some mistakes against the Pitt-Narduzzi defense?
Well, he has been prone to a couple of mistakes. That's what, Notre Dame has been finding ways to get wins, with the exception of the trip to Clemson, but he has made some errors in the red zone. He made a lot of errors, like I said, against Clemson that really cost them the game, and it's kept a lot of games closer than they probably should have been. But he's found ways to win games in the fourth quarter. Obviously, he steps in for the injured Malik Zaire and throws that last-minute touchdown pass to Will Fuller. Did the same thing against Temple last week. You know, some turnovers cost them in that game until late on he managed to mount another last-second drive. Look, there's some guys that he's a freshman eligibility-wise, but he is a sophomore, so it's his second year in the system, even though he redshirted last year. So not exactly a true freshman, but still impressive to be stepping in and performing the way he has, and especially coming through in the clutch when they've needed him to over these last couple of games. He's grown. He's looked more and more confident every single week. You could see, as would be expected for a guy that's as athletically gifted as he was and is such a good runner, that he would quickly go through his reads and would tuck the ball and run too early. You're seeing him grow more and more confident in the pocket, going through his progressions, trying to find the throw, and then only taking off if he needs to or on designed runs. So he's grown each and every week in the job, and, you know, it's always a tough test to go on the road and get a win, but that's what he'll be tasked with doing today. It helps when you have as deep and as talented and as fast a wide receiving core as Deshaun Kizer has as options as targets.
As a Notre Dame fan, to quote Pat Narduzzi, how do you enjoy having your cake and eating it too?
I see that Pat Narduzzi, although he's only in year one, has already picked up pretty well on the Pitt inferiority complex with his veiled shots at Penn State and his comments about Notre Dame joining a schedule. He's worked his way right in there in year number one. I'll say this to Pat Narduzzi. If he thinks that Notre Dame's schedule is easy, maybe he should, as he implied, that Notre Dame doesn't have to go through playing the Power 5 conference teams, the teams that are in those conferences, have to handle. I would remind Pat Narduzzi that Notre Dame has the fifth hardest schedule in college football this year, whereas Pitt is sitting at number 34 on that rank. So before he goes and says anything about that, and that's another thing that bothers me when people bring up the conference, is that It's not like Notre Dame held a gun to either the Big East or the ACC's head and said, this is what you have to do. This is what was offered by both of those conferences, this arrangement of participating in all sports except for football. So I don't know what Narduzzi's talking about when he says that. I also say Notre Dame's never in their history have they ever scheduled a 1AA opponent anywhere on their roster. So I don't know what Narduzzi's talking about. I guess he's just stirring it up a little bit, as coaches like to do.
Well, those weren't failed shots. Those were direct shots. Let me be direct about saying that. Look, I don't think he ever said, though, Mike, that Notre Dame is an easy schedule. I think he was complaining about the fact that Notre Dame has the right to vie for the championship and they don't have to play a conference championship game.
Well, and if Pitt wants to go it alone and be an independent and feels they can survive that way and not have to share their money with the rest of the conference, I would urge Pitt to go ahead and forge that road themselves if they feel they can pull it off. Look, people get mad because Notre Dame thinks that they're special and they deserve special treatment. Well, obviously there's something that is special about Notre Dame that allows them to operate under this system and still be in the mix. They still schedule a very challenging schedule every single year, and if Notre Dame can roll through with their only regular season loss being Clemson, and if Clemson keeps playing the way that they do and wins the ACC championship and goes undefeated through their regular season, I would imagine it would end up being hard to keep Notre Dame out of the playoff, especially when it's a game they could have and maybe should have won at Clemson.
Mike Rod joins us here on Trib Live Radio. I'm not as impressed with the Notre Dame defense, Mike. Should I be more impressed than I am? Can Pitt carve them up a little bit?
I'm not sure where Pitt would carve them up. I guess maybe in the ground game a little bit. I think that this has been maybe Brian Kelly's most impressive coaching job in his time at Notre Dame, just because the scores of injuries, the key positions Notre Dame has suffered since the start of training camp. I mean, this is a team that in that first ranking is fifth, only has the one loss on the season. And out of their starters, they've lost their starting quarterback, their starting running back, their starting center, their starting tight end, their starting defensive tackle, the only experienced defensive tackle they have on their team, and a safety. They're going to be without another defensive back for the first half, and Elijah Shoemate, who was ejected with a targeting penalty last week against Temple, so he'll have to sit out the first half. They're a little thin in the secondary. Maybe that's an area, but besides Tyler Boyd, I really don't know who you have to worry about as a weapon in Pitt's passing game, but maybe the tight ends will become a factor if they can get the ball. If Peterman can get the ball in his tight end's hands, maybe that's an area they can exploit. But it's been a pretty good Notre Dame defense, not like what it was in 2012 when the team went undefeated in the regular season, and that defense was just shutting everybody down every week. But there's still plenty of talent and speed there. It's just inexperienced and younger at this point.
Well, coming off the Temple game, what did you think? I mean, were you expecting them to blow Temple out, or did you come away respecting Temple?
Well, I certainly came away respecting Temple, and I was expecting that to be a much easier trip. I mean, come on, it's Temple. Yeah, they were 8-0. You were starting to hear some buzz, but I mean, I never expected Temple to be as physical as a team as they were. And that little running back, whose name is just escaping me right now, he's fast, he's quick, and he was a very, very strong runner. It was a good poised team, a physical defense. I was very much impressed by Temple. We'll see how the rest of their year goes. Probably going to have they do have a regular season matchup against Memphis, and then they'll probably, if things go according to how it should, that they'll face Temple in their conference face Memphis in their conference championship game yet again. So we'll see how their season goes from here. But I mean, when I looked at the schedule this year, I didn't think that Notre Dame would easily blow out Texas and struggle down to the last minute against Temple. That's all I'll say.
I just looked it up. I can't believe that Notre Dame TV contract runs through 2025. 2025?
I think it was just renewed last year.
Wow. Yeah, 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Things ain't changing for a long time, basically.
Wow. I made the comment earlier, Mike, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, that even though Notre Dame has this independent status, but at the same time is able to be included in the big BCS scenario, that they are no longer the black hat in college football. They're not who everybody loves to hate. People love to hate whoever wins the SEC. Like, the SEC as a conference is the new black hat, no longer Notre Dame. Would you agree with that or disagree?
I mean, I have a weird perspective on this, obviously, as a Notre Dame guy who constantly receives Notre Dame hate from those that do still hate Notre Dame. I think that the entire, idea of you either love them or you hate them is completely overblown. I know lots of people who are completely indifferent towards Notre Dame. I heard Guy Junker saying the other day that he's indifferent when it comes to Notre Dame. He neither loves nor hates. I think, you know, it's obviously going to be cyclical. Whoever's the dominant team, you don't want to like. What are we saying, that Nick Saban's Alabama holds that crown now?
I'm saying whoever wins the SEC does. I think whoever wins the SEC is looked upon as the ambassador of the evil empire for that year.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's a fair. I really don't know how to answer that, because I'm so used to constantly hearing about Notre Dame hate from people, especially this week, as I'm reading columns in the Trib and hearing what other writers say, that constantly feeling that Notre Dame, that hate that I've been not exposed to for, say, an SEC team that happens to be the dominant team that year.
The jealousy and the favored status that people used to feel about Notre Dame, I think, is more about the SEC when it comes to the amount of attention it gets, benefit of the doubt that it gets.
Oh, sure.
That's where I think it comes into play. You know,
then you just automatically assume that whichever team comes through the SEC is automatically the biggest and the best.
Yeah,
and
whoever the SEC...
In years prior, people would have automatically rated Notre Dame on that level, even if they weren't that impressive.
And whoever wins the SEC Player of the Year is automatically the Heisman Trophy winner and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a fair argument. That has been the way of the SEC. But the SEC has also backed it up on the field. I mean, last year it's not like we were talking about Mississippi State being the most hated team in college football at this point through the year, but I see what you're saying.
What's the score prediction, Mike? What are you thinking?
Well, I went with Notre Dame and picking Pork, that extra half point, that 7.5 at Barker Center. It makes me a little bit nervous just because of recent history in this game. It seems like no matter which team is good and which team is down, these two teams always end up playing each other close. But I think Notre Dame, with those receivers, as long as they can establish some sort of ground game with C.J. Procise early on, I think that Notre Dame just has too many weapons in the receiver corps for Pitt to deal with, already struggling some at defensive back. Lafayette Pitts getting pulled for ineffectiveness at points during the game last week. They need everybody in that secondary to be on point and on the top of their game to handle Notre Dame's passing attack on Saturday. I see more points than maybe we would expect. I'm looking at something like 33-24 for the Irish.
Mike, thanks. We'll be listening this weekend, especially Steelers, Mike and Dave's Black and Gold pregame Sunday morning, 10 a.m.
I'll be talking to all of you then, I'm sure.
Indeed.
Unless we forget to answer.
Thanks, guys.
And then you won't. How about this, though, guys? I was looking at the mock draft at Walter Football. Charlie Campbell puts one together, like he puts a new one together every week. Three Notre Dame guys in his mock top 10, top first round, sorry. But two in the top 11, including highest-ranked guy, the linebacker Jaylon Smith, who is a 6'2", 235 junior tackling machine.
Hmm.
Their left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, he's got 11th overall. And their wide receiver, Will Fuller, 27th, so... Notre Dame not bereft of talent if they got three first-rounder possibilities right now heading into this game. And Stanley's definitely good at left tackle. Can Pitt get any pressure on this guy would be a question, too. They haven't done that much the last few weeks.
That's been one of the key criticisms that Chris Peek has had against Pitt, is that they haven't gotten to the quarterback in the past few weeks. So that's something I'll keep an eye on.
Hey, back to the Steelers, Tim, in your interview with Will Allen there. He pointed out that the last 2 years they finished 6-2 in their last 8 games. I guess I knew that but hadn't realized it, and I wonder if that's been a Tomlin talking point that he's drilled into these players all week. You know, like, we finished strong around here. We look what we've done the last 2 years, and is that any degree of hope for fans that, hey, they're right, they have done it, and they can finish 6-2 in these last 8 games?
It is, and yes, it's part of what goes into my thinking as well. You know, this is as healthy as they're going to be, because I guess I can't say that. They could lose some of their wide receivers now, too. But, I mean, they've never had the collective together they thought they were going to have. And now it's just, with D'Angelo Williams being a Band-Aid for Le'Veon Bell, it could be worse, I suppose.
Could be last year.
There have been some years where they've gone 6-2 over the, not last year. Last year they were pretty healthy.
I mean, with the backup running back situation.
I'm talking about this stretch of time for the last 8 weeks. I do think that them being a good second-half team is something tangible, yes.
I think it is, too. I mean, Tomlin's got a knack for keeping them together. Last year they had a run of success at home, which was a big part of that, right? I mean, they won those three home games. They blew out the Colts. Was that second half? I believe that was already by the second half. They were 7-4. They won the last four games of the year, though.
Okay, well, they got
big.
Two home games to start the second half this year. You know, they got three in a row this year, right?
Yeah, well, and they're
Cincinnati,
in the stretch of three
Oakland,
in a row
that's
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. Cincinnati, Oakland, Cleveland. So
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Then the bye week before Seattle.
They're not going to lose during the bye. I can guarantee you that.
Thank you.
Steelers versus
Thank
bye, I carry the points with the Steelers.
So does that mean Tim gains a game? Or?
Yeah, you didn't give me my game for Cincinnati last night. I'm really pissed about that.
I gave you an attaboy. We said it was an asterisk.
It's a little pat.
Why can't
there.
We add our own games if we want to? Why does Mike always have to be judge, jury, and executioner?
What do you want,
like
an unbalanced schedule? You like
Roger
the SEC? You're playing Middle Tennessee? Or what are you doing
here? Oh,
here
we go again.
Hey, two notes from Chris Adamski, who's down at Steelers practice today. Number one, Jacoby Jones does not appear to have practiced. So unless Tomlin just has faith in him to put him out there without having practiced at all, they may have Marcus Wheaton returning kicks.
Maybe he'll just return kicks and nothing else.
Tomlin tripped him on the way to the trainer's room.
There it is.
Sprained his ankle.
And Stephon Tuitt, Notre Dame grad that he is, or at least he went there. I don't know if he graduated.
I don't think he did.
Said, I feel great. The knee is 100%. And said he will definitely be at Heinz Field tomorrow.
What the hell was that noise? Is somebody yelling at you?
That's the buzzer. Your time's up.
Are you getting scolded back there?
Somebody playing Taboo? Is that the buzzer?
Got any parting shots here, Mr. Benz?
One correction as far as goals per game against Calgary actually is behind Edmonton in goals per game, 2.7 to 2.29. But again, no Connor McDavid, and what has killed Calgary this year, as Craig Button told us, and he's 100% correct, is poor goaltending. I don't know. I still play Zach Goff tonight, give Fleury the extra day, and then play Fleury against the Flames.
I like that plan.
Zatkoff has become just the guy that sits on the bench and looks like that classic Canadian. I don't even know if he's Canadian.
No, he's from Michigan. Remember?
He's from Michigan, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because Pittsburgh is a nicer Michigan.
He's just a classic hockey backup goalie.
Remember
what
he said that?
Yeah. I think I figured out the theory as to why he might be a Pats fan. Tom Brady went to Michigan.
I guess good enough for Sally Wiggin, it's good enough for him.
I think Sally's got other interests.
It's Michigan and Alabama for Sally, because she went to both schools, so she's all about Michigan and Alabama.
Ow, Randy, what you don't know about Tom Brady.
Also, the big Jimbo Covert jersey retirement, number 75, going up on the rafters tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
That was a late announcement.
Yeah.
No one came in late. But they're going to have a bunch of the big names over there to celebrate.
Well, hey, if Fritos and Pepsi don't keep you at halftime, Jimbo Covert's jersey retirement will keep the students there.
Did I hear correctly that Dan Marino's going to be in town?
Marino's supposed to be there.
That's
Ditka, Dorsett, Bill Fralick, Jackie Sherrill.
Okay, so Marino's going to be here. What's Marino doing now? What's his major business interest right now?
Anthony's
Coal-Fired Pizza, right?
Oh.
So here's what you do. You want to keep the students? Free pizza. Free pizza keeps me. Fritos and Pepsi do not.
Hey, I'll take Fritos.
Those meatball buckets that they sell, you know, I'm in.
I'm like the kid from Friday. Give me some chili Fritos.
I'll take a free pizza. I have a Giovanni's Pizza in a couple weeks. This would help. This weekend would help. You can go to Giovanni's Pizza right now. I'd love Giovanni's.com.
I'm so torn on this because I took Pitt today with the points, but I think Notre Dame's going to win, and I want Notre Dame to win for the big picture.
That is the sound of Tim ripping up his picking pork picks.
Yeah.
He's throwing them in the air right now as we speak.
Who's Syracuse got this weekend?
I don't even care anymore.
Okay.
After that Florida State game, I checked at.
You sound like me after the City game of the Duquesne basketball schedule.
They might have a bye this week. I don't even know. I didn't look. They stink so bad. It's almost basketball season. I'm looking ahead to the Atlantis tournament. That's all that matters to me. UConn,
oh, you're going, right?
Yeah, UConn, Michigan.
Oh, that's big.
Texas, Coastal Carolina, the Zags are there. How are the Zags supposed to be this year?
I bet Boeheim would be happy to see you at the Atlantis resort.
John Stockton's kid still looking Zagger to graduate.
Yeah, what are you doing back around the team? That's why I'm coaching and you're out there.
Trip Live Radio brought to you by Duffy's Beer as well.
It's amazing how much my Boeheim and Paterno sound alike.
Yeah.
You got to get a little older for the Jopa. Duffy's Beer's online at duffysbeer.com. They are your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for the weekend's game.
I'm not Joe Paterno.
Penguins Roundtable is coming up. I'm not sure if Bomboli can do any impersonations. We'll see if he's got any in him. We check in live with our Jason Mackey from Edmonton's Rexall Place, where he's covering the skates.
Their guy punched my player in the face, and he stayed in the game.
Penguins Roundtable is next.